Simchat Torah is rejoicing in God's word. This is what I'm going to carry into this next year. You've gone through repentance and teshuvah. You went to 10 days of repentance from Rosh Hashanah into Yom Kippur. Sukkot is a time to celebrate your dwelling in God's word. 5785 was one of the most difficult years. Lots of death, lots of sickness. Sometimes when you're weak, say, Jesus, I need to know you as a friend.
In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we're going to be discussing Simchat Torah. And so, Rabbi, by the time this episode comes out, Sukkot, the feast at House of David, just happened. And so we wanted to kind of bring Simchat Torah into it, bring the teaching with it. How does it relate to Sukkot? If somebody's watching for the first time, they just found this channel, found any content of yours on the, especially the fall feast, and it's biblical year 5786. Let's just address the question first. What is Simchat Torah?
Simchat Torah is rejoicing in God's word. That's, you know, that's what we do on the last day of Sukkot. The last day is the rejoicing, and so the sealing of God's word. So to say, if you were making wine, you've either put it into the barrel or into the bottle, and Simchat Torah is when you rejoice and you, so to say, put the cork in and you seal it in your heart and you say, this is what I'm going to carry into this next year. And but you do it with great joy. I mean, you've gone through repentance and teshuvah in the previous months. You went to 10 days of repentance from Rosh Hashanah into Yom Kippur, and the 10 days of awe. So there's a lot of repentance and some sorrow and things. But now Sukkot is a time to celebrate your dwelling in God's word. It's like they, you know, since it's under a chuppah, you're in a booth, that it's a time to celebrate. But Simchat Torah, this day that's coming up here in just a few days for you, this is a time when, I'm going to give you a few scriptures. These are a time when you rejoice that the bad has been taken out of your mindset, out of your soul. The confusion's gone, and now you're embracing the transforming truth of the Word of God. And you're rejoicing in it because you know you're making a decision to say, I have hope now because by the blood of Jesus, I have been sanctified so I can think, act, and make choices that will bring blessing and not cursing in my life.
All right, so let's go to the scriptures real quick.
Okay, so Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So you're rejoicing, you know, that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where that, when David was in this psalm, what he's actually talking about is back in the ancient of times, they would wear sandals. And then on the sandals, they would have these little lamps that would be made out of pottery clay, and it would have oil in it, and they would light the lamp and it would be on their feet. So they'd have to walk very carefully, but the purpose of it was not to see the path. The purpose of it was to see the dangers on the path, because you're in the desert, you're in Israel in the Middle East, there's scorpions, there's vipers, there's all sorts of things that come out at night that are on the path. So what David is saying here metaphorically is he's saying, your word will show me where not to put my foot. And so that's really, I think, powerful. Psalm 119, 15 and 17, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. So this is making a decree on Simchat Torah, the last, I'm sealing it, but I'm not going to forget these fall feasts. I'm not going to forget that you awakened, cleansed, and now we've renewed covenant and I can abide with you. I won't forget, because what caused me all the problems in the last part last year was the fact that, let's be honest, I forgot. I got busy. I started bringing in some bad habits and patterns. It started causing the wages of sin in my life. And I take responsibility, and now I'm going forward and I'm not going to change. And then Joshua 1:8, which is really going to be, as if you've joined us at all for the feast, you heard me say over and over and over again, Moses is dead. And so the old way of doing things in the past have died. And if you go to Joshua chapter 1, God says Moses is dead, but he tells Joshua, as I was with you, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. But then he gives him this instruction. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make, it says, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the key to the good success is to cleanse, to light the lamp in your heart, listen to the Holy Spirit, don't put your foot on the scorpion and the viper, stay on the path. And at Simchat Torah, there's a lot of dancing, rejoicing, and singing. It's uplifting. We bring the final offering of Sukkoth at that time. This is a time when we celebrate and we go out in love, life, and hope for a better future. But these decrees that I'm talking about is what we're saying is, like, we're not just going to party and forget. We're going to be able to make decrees to say we're going this. The reason 5786 will be better than 5785 because I have different mindsets, habits, and patterns, and I'm walking higher and closer to the Lord.
So I think people watching and listening got a pretty good idea, especially with the fall feast, Sukkot is happening, and now we're talking about Simchat Torah and direction that they need to take. And I would consider you, you've written a book on habits and patterns, right? Goals to grow. But you're also one of the most transparent teachers of God's word, and just from, you know, in your life where God's put you in a position of spiritual authority. One of the things I love about you and Miss Christie, but especially working with you so close for a while now, is just the transparency of when you go backwards, because a lot of pastors, preachers, I haven't worked with any other rabbis before, right? But other people in that I've worked with that God's blessed in terms of spiritual authority, you don't hear it often. And so you jumped in Psalms. You gave a little nugget of transparency about having to hit a reset, right? Can you give an example just right off the top? If you can't, then let's redirect a little bit. But maybe a year that the habits and patterns, like you just had it, whose rinse repeat, right? Because my hope for people out of this episode, out of the Simchat Torah teaching, and just the fall feast, being excited about what they received in 5786 to kick off the year, about not getting backwards, right? And like being able to readjust when those new habits and patterns that are now different from, say, last year in 5785, they're trying to make good on what their intentions and what they built. So can you give an example of maybe like the most successful habit and pattern year that you can remember? And then maybe combine that with, hey, when you do get knocked off, right, how quickly can you readjust, especially in this time of Simchat Torah?
I can say for us, 5785 was one of the most difficult years this last year for us. And primarily for like what I call the remnant pioneers, those who are going to be pioneering the new ecclesia, the new apostolic movement that's coming. 5785 was tough. I've lost more friends, lots of death, lots of sickness. It's been a very tough year. So I'll be transparent with this. So I had dinner with very high apostolic leaders last night, and this was the subject, like 5785. And the question came to me at the dinner, why was 5785? Why with everybody that we know, sickness, death, financial stuff. I mean, it has been it's been tough. And so that was the question was directed at me. And I'll just share with you what I said. I said, the reason is because of you have to trust the Lord as the gardener. And you have to trust him with the pruning, because he knows what needs to be pruned and he knows what needs to be grafted in. And he's the only one that knows. And so there's a place where you just have to trust. And the two examples I gave at the dinner was, not only is Moses dead, but the Joshuas have to rise up. But also Saul, the leadership of King Saul, which was appointed by man king, that's dead. Now, even though I believe Saul died, that spirit has been defeated this last summer, there are still disciples of Saul that are trying to resurrect that Saul governmental movement. So you see that in real life in the political system in the United States. The Republicans may be in control and may have won, but the Democrats are trying to recreate and refine themselves. Like, how do we resurrect our party? Well, in the spirit of Saul, which is self-appointed kings and religious, they're not appointed of God, they're appointed of man. Those systems, which are very prevalent inside the ecclesia and the body of Christ, even though a lot of those leaders died this year, even though all that happened, their disciples are trying to resurrect the old wineskin, because that's all they know. They're just trying to resurrect it. But what's happening is, even though Saul's dead, the Lord is positioning David. And so what I was saying at the dinner was, David needs to not only perceive he's king, but David needs to perceive that nothing can stop his ruling the kingdom, because he's called and he was anointed by Samuel years ago. He is anointed and appointed. And there's just a time when you have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And there's just a time where you have to understand that your emotional intelligence is probably more important than even your spiritual discernment. And I know people will say, what I'm saying, they're not going to agree. I'm talking 36 years of experience in ministry. You can have, and this is what I mean by it, you can have the greatest prophets, and they have spiritual discernment. Man, they're seers. They see it. They can call it out. But their emotional intelligence, their souls are not in a place. Because what happens as soon as something bad happens, they come out of that anointing into the flesh and say stupid stuff. And I see a lot of prophets right now saying a lot of stupid stuff. And because they are well established, everyone thinks, well, it's the Lord. Well, I know it's not the Lord, because I do have discernment and I've been doing this a long time. And I know it's their emotions speaking, because they're wounded. Things aren't going their way. They're being overlooked because they didn't make the correction that they were supposed to make, you know, 6 months, a year ago. And now what's happening, they're being passed over by wilderness people out that no one knows, that have actually been preparing their hearts for the Lord and are ready and teachable, flexible, and humble servants. But they also have skills and ability, and they're ready to take their place, because the Lord's going out into the highways and hedges. So what you have to do right now is you need to have the heart of King David and understand that you're called to unify Israel and Judah. You know, you're called to bring all the 12 tribes together in unity. And it's going to take the Lord. It's going to be not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And I only way I know how to say this is like you have to be willing to actually perceive that the Lord is deceiving you. And I'm not being disrespectful, but your soul has to go, I don't have a clue why he's doing this. I don't see it. I'm supposed to be apostolic. I'm supposed to be a prophet. I'm supposed to be able to know what's going on. But I'll just raise my hand right now. I don't know what the heck's going on with this. This, we have not been this way before. That would be me for this last year. I'm looking at some of this stuff. I'm going, my gosh, I would not go this direction. But I'm smart enough and humble enough to know that God is not a man that he should lie. God does not change. It doesn't really matter what I think or what I think I know. What I need to reinforce, and that's what we just did on Simcha Torah, what you're reinforcing is I'm going to trust God even when I don't understand or know. There's no promise that says, well, thou shalt be comfortable and know exactly what thy do. That's not in the scripture. I just made that up just now on the show. It says that the justified or the just shall live by faith. But you have to understand, I'm blessed to talk to some real serious leaders in the ecclesia and in governments that aren't saved. I mean, I had a high-level official out of Israel say to me the other day, well, all I know, if it keeps going this way, the Messiah better come back soon. So I've never heard that before. But my point is that we have come through a year where I could go real deep into this, but I'm not going to do that right now. But at the dinner, what I was saying is that this is a year where it's like Job, though he slay me, I'm going to praise him. I don't understand all these bad things that have happened, but I do know right before major shifts and promotions, bad stuff happens. I did tell them, and in agreement, I'm not name dropping, but I know like Apostle Chuck Pierce and I have discussed this. He agrees that we're at the end of a 7-year cycle. I do too. And that's one of the reasons I'm going to his head of the year is that, and I've been there now and you probably watched it, but anytime you start a new 7-year cycle, there's going to be a lot of disruption to shake the nations and shake people so they don't carry the baggage of the last 7 years into the new 7 years. And so if I could say anything that would comfort anybody, you have to just trust God. He is in control. He does have your best interest at heart. God is love. God is not a man that he should lie. It's harder for us at our age and position. It's harder for the old wineskins to shed the old wineskin to get the new wineskin. And the reason is we have so much experience. And then we think, man, I'm having to throw away a lot of what I thought was going to happen. And it's just flat not going to happen that way. And it's humbling, especially for people like us. I mean, I've got like over 4,000 videos on YouTube. I've got multiple books. I have, you know, and there's just some of the stuff that, you know, you're saying, is it applicable or is it not? One of the best things I've done, a prophet that I watched at Gloria Zion about 2-3 weeks ago said, go through your journals. They said, go back 3 years. I went back 5 because I had them with me. And praise God, what I was journaling 5 years ago, I actually was prophesying to myself in the journal of what happened this year. So I'm going, but I didn't, when I was writing it and journaling it, I didn't share with anybody. It was there, but it was the Lord preparing me for what's coming and even for this next year. And but I can tell you this, we're going to prosper. I trust the Lord, but people need to hold their life like I took a golf lesson once and they said, you should hold the club like a tube of toothpaste. Take the cap off and hold it. And if you're squeezing it and you have toothpaste on your shoe, you've squeezed it too hard. And that's kind of how you need to take your life like a tube of toothpaste, take the cap off. And if you're panicking and squeezing the toothpaste, you got toothpaste all over your spiritual feet. You're gripping too hard. This is a season where we need to hold things very lightly and know that the Lord is with us. You know, it's the Jabez prayer. that, you know, the biggest thing, the Lord bless me indeed. And, but also he asked the Lord that he not cause harm to other people. But he also in that prayer says, I'll be fine if you go with me. That's my prayer right now. Simcha Torah is what you're saying is, not only am I going, but you're going with me. And the reason I know we'll walk together is because we're going to walk together in your word and your ways.
Let's go ahead and land the plane on this episode. But one point I kind of want to throw out there before you give your last encouragement, your last thoughts, as we wrap up this episode on Simcha Torah. I think you pointed out something as you're working through scripture, you're working through example 5785, heading into, you know, 5786, looking back at the journals. I think the biggest issue that Christians deal with in their prayer life is not knowing. So it's that faith aspect, right? And so when I've talked with buddies, I mean, this is like way younger, Daryl, so like 10 plus years ago, right? You know, initially about faith, and, you know, it'd be like trying to explain Father, Son, Holy Spirit type of thing, right? There's just some things that you can't fully understand, but you have to have the faith. Now, we've done episodes where you've walked it through in like 4 minutes, and now seems pretty easy, right? But like when you're trying to look through scripture and, you know, you're going to God in prayer and you're doing it over and over and over again, and you just don't understand, you know, I think that's the biggest frustration that I've seen, that maybe, and I'm not really, I mean, I grew up in the church, you know, and so I've had a different mindset in terms of prayer my entire life, where I've learned to be patient, right? I've been tested quite a bit. So your point about, like, before a promotion comes, the enemy's really going to come in on you. And that's very true. And so I want to point that out. But just my observation is just Christians really struggle, and I can 100% relate, but the ones I've talked with over the years, Rabbi, is that, you know, you talk a lot about getting spiritual results, right? And we preach on it, we teach on it, and I love that. And I've met a lot of people that love, because like they've never heard that before, right? But the frustration is not understanding, and you've got to have the faith to go through those battles, go through that season of life when, you know, I mean, like maybe the paychecks aren't coming in, right? Maybe you got laid off, or maybe you're working really hard and you're not making what you need to support the family, or, you know, you applied to 50 jobs and you haven't heard back from any of them, right? Maybe your spouse passed away. Maybe you got a friend that got sick. You know, it's like those moments in life where, you know, you're like, man, I'm trying to hear God's voice. I'm trying to take his direction. I got faith, but I feel like my faith is going backwards because I'm not getting the spiritual results. You know, I'm not getting direction. And so, like, what would be, you know, your advice, your final nugget as we kind of tie it together to Simcha Torah and kind of end this episode?
You know, the scripture in the New Testament says, when we are weak, he is strong. I just recently got to witness that. So I got to sit in a pew directly behind my best friend since I was 5. And we've been friends since we're 5, and we're now 70. So you can kind of do the math on that, 65 years of friendship, and where we've stayed connected for 65 years. We married around the same time. We had daughters around the same time. We got saved around the same time. We have grandkids around the same time. His wife just recently, unexpectedly passed away. So we're in the service here, and I'm sitting right behind him, and he's a strong believer, has great faith. And I'm behind him, but I'm praying for him. And I thought, here we are again, after 65 years of friendship. He and I have been through everything together. It's a very rare thing. It's a gift from God. but I never dreamed we would be going through this together. And Christy and I are very close to his wife too. So it was, we just had my 70th birthday and we were all together, you know, had a big dinner together, and it was just a great time. So as I'm watching him, listening to the pastor, you know, quote Psalm 23, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's quoting that scripture, I'm watching my friend in probably one of the weakest positions he's ever been emotionally. And, but yet I could see the presence of God all over him and the comfort of it. And at one point I just was behind him and I just came and I put my hands on his shoulder. And that's all I needed to do. And you could just, and I could feel the anointing going through my hands. And sometimes he didn't need a rabbi. He doesn't look at me as a rabbi. I'm his friend. I'm not his pastor. His pastor's up there preaching. Sometimes you need to just know Jesus as a friend. Sometimes you don't need words. I didn't say any words. I'm a prophet. He recognizes me as a prophet. And he knows it's God. But all I did was put my hands on his shoulder. And I said, you know what? I'm your friend. I didn't say anything, but in my head, I'll always be your friend. And we will get through this. We've got, for 65 years, we got through all the rest. And we'll get through this. I didn't say a word. So to answer your question, sometimes when you're weak, you just need to ask the Lord. Say, Jesus, I need to know you as a friend. And he'll touch you like that. And it's unexplainable. It's the strength and the power that you get from that. And when we lost Pastor Tim and Sandy's son at 36, Brian, we needed a friend. There's no explanation. You know, we just needed the Lord to comfort. And so I want to say that to you right now. I want to release this blessing to you that on this Simcha Torah, as you walk into this new year, 5786, you may have had losses. Just ask the Lord and pray this prayer right now with me. Say, Father God, in Yeshua's name, I ask you, I need a friend. Be my friend. And he'll touch you, and he'll be your friend. And when you're weak, he is strong. That the strength of God, the beauty of woundedness and brokenness and weakness, is that's when the Lord's presence comes the strongest. Embrace that love and that peace in Yeshua's name. And have a blessed year.
Amen and amen. Well, if you made it to this point in this podcast, into this episode, and you're watching over on YouTube, drop us a comment and let us know what the Lord is doing in your life. As we get close to Simcha Torah through the fall feast, just let us know in the comments. Let us know if you're able to join us in person or online as well. We'd love to hear from you. And also, if you're not subscribed to this channel, I want to encourage you. We publish, we create content. Our team works really hard. Rabbi spends a lot of time in the studio and studying to bring you timely prophetic words, daily and weekly spiritual content. So we want to encourage you to go ahead and hit that subscribe button on your screen right now. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.